Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Health insurance made easy through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. We're into the final week of June. People are holiday making and the second cut of silage is on the go. We're over midsummer and the nights will shrink a little bit, which you'll hardly notice if your mood is bright enough. If you can manage a bright mood with everything going on, go join the group chats north and south on the WhatsApp. That's 087 032 32 32, and you can always email oliver@rte.ie. Good morning. Now, how do you tally that weekend that just was in this country and around the world? Zach Bryan hurling shocks and war. And I was lucky enough to be among the happy hordes in Phoenix Park on a gorgeous, windless, sunny Saturday night for Zach Bryan. He is Springsteen for Gen Z, 180,000 youngsters. And I'd say they were mostly around late teens, around the age of 20. It's very 50-50, girls and boys. And we criticise youngsters an awful lot these days. But it was a really exceptionally well-behaved crowd. A wave of soundness hit the Phoenix Park and it was a lovely atmosphere. And what an extraordinary punt that was as well. Oklahoma youngster. He only played the Helix in Dublin 2 years ago, and from there to a weekend of massive concerts in the park where the stage and the infrastructure and everything that brings you to the concert has to be built from scratch in a field. And it was also a big win for the OPW, we must say, which was in need of one. It was just a stunning amber evening, brilliant 2 hour show from a 29-year-old and his enormous live band. And then woke up in the glow of that on Sunday morning to the news that the world had changed again. President Trump, who is the self-declared opponent of foreign wars, America first and everything, bombed Iran. The B-2 stealth bomber jets taking to the skies, they dropped 12 bunker-busting bombs, they're being called. They've never been used before and they were dropped on the mountain that's set to hold Iran's nuclear operations. It's called Operation Midnight Hammer, which is a very kind of 1980s name. And the B-2 planes, stealth bombers, they came out of the 80s as well. Midnight Hammer, starring Stormy Daniels. She's working late for the United States. It's kind of the theme, isn't it? And there was no notice given to allies of the United States. It is, of course, a major boost for Benjamin Netanyahu. His primary interest in more war appears to be self-preservation, because he avoids all those corruption trials we've said before while he clings to office in Israel. Why is Trump bombing Iran? There isn't a lot of interrogation into the why across the coverage. It is a total U-turn on 10 years now of the president since he declared his interest in running for politics, saying he was not interested in foreign wars ever. It was the most believable thing about him, that isolationism and America first and so on. But it has happened, and there's not, everything is generally a transaction with him, but it's not very clear what the goal is here. Europe is rendered totally irrelevant when you compare it to the involvement in George W. Bush's wars and how important it was. The France and Germany had opposed it while Britain had gone along with George W. Bush. Now we're just irrelevant and the Brits weren't even informed. The American Democrat Party look on, very little comment of substance across the weekend, even though half of America is crying out for opposition leadership there. And even the MAGA Trump fans have been divided with open criticism of their guy for the last week. And we covered some of it here, but they've fallen in line since Saturday night, Sunday morning. For now, there's no sign of Tucker Carlson, who really opposed the attack in Iran. Trump says it's just a one-off. It's not the start of the forever war that the MAGA opponents claim it might be. But if Iran did retaliate with missiles on US bases in the region, he hardly does nothing in response, does he? We don't know. There were between 40 and 50,000 American troops in the Middle East across 19 sites. About six of them are permanent military bases. But overnight, we've learned Iran only managed to fire a single ballistic missile at Israel in response to missiles that continue to come from that direction. And that kind of would indicate this very rattled regime has little firepower, or maybe just buying time. We don't know. It's the not knowing that sort of stirs the fears everywhere. And I'm reading in the British press this morning reports that British Airways and Singapore Airlines have suspended flights to Dubai in the wake of the Zoo airstrikes on Iran. in the early hours of yesterday. Singapore says they're following a security assessment of the geopolitical situation in the Middle East. So no flights into Dubai and other Gulf states from London Heathrow. But that's not the case in Ireland, because obviously there are a huge number of flights from here to those areas. Etihad, Emirates and Qatar fly to those regions. Dubai particularly a popular destination. The DA says no change so far anyway, and nothing's been cancelled from those airlines. I know there's a flight at 20 past two this afternoon. That's what's going on. The BBC reporting a very dramatic series of events on Saturday night in Washington. The White House called what's known as a lid. It's kind of jargon to tell reporters on Saturday night that there's no more news. We're putting a lid on things. That's what they used. And then at 10 to 8 in the evening, Trump announced the strikes on his own Truth Social platform. And his network went down because it's quite a primitive social media platform under the weight of the traffic. And then 2 hours later, he's standing in the East Room of the White House, the very same place that Barack Obama announced the death of Osama bin Laden, in a different paradigm, 2011. And Trump said Iran now has a choice, peace or tragedy. And Iran, of course, has responded. The events of this morning are outrageous and will have everlasting consequences. And then all the questions are out there. The Wall Street Journal is asking, is the Iranian nuclear program fully destroyed, as Trump says, or will they respond? We don't know. The United Nations says it doesn't know. It can't verify whether it's been obliterated, as the Trump administration has said. That's the nuclear program, it says. And the BBC security correspondent says, the gravest question of all now, does Iran still have enough highly enriched uranium hidden away at a secret underground location elsewhere that the Americans don't know about, plus the knowledge and means to weaponize it in a very crude way and make a decision to race for that crude nuclear bomb? And they're also speculating, the same security correspondent, that the attacks might actually start a nuclear arms race in the region, that Saudi Arabia might go, well, maybe we need one as well, and so on. And elsewhere then, on the more quirky side of this story, you'll remember on Thursday we discussed here an online account monitoring pizza parlours and takeaways in Washington and across the river in Arlington, Virginia, where the Pentagon is located. And it says it can predict this pizza monitor when America is going to war. The Pizza Pentagon Report, they call themselves, a social media account, accurately predicted Israel's initial 12th of June military strikes in Iran. And on Saturday night, a full hour before Trump formally announced that he'd attacked Iran, the social media account posted that local pizza traffic near the Pentagon was high. High activity reported at the closest Papa John's to the Pentagon. They also said Freddy's Beach Bar, which is a restaurant near the Pentagon, reporting abnormally low activity levels for Saturday night, saying this is a classic indicator for potential overtime at the Pentagon when the restaurants go quiet and the takeaways fly up. It's war. And half an hour before Trump's address to the nation, the pizza account noticed there was huge traffic surge at the Domino's closest to MacDill Air Force Base. That's in Florida, next to CENTCOM, which is the central command for the US military, where the B-2 bombers would have been coordinated from. And surely America's enemies by now need to keep a closer eye on pizza orders. Or somebody in the Pentagon needs to start thinking about sushi, you know, just to get people off the scent. It is extraordinary. The texts are coming in. 51551, by the way, for the text. Let's be clear. The US has not started a war. The US has bombed Iran's nuclear capability in order to prevent wars and killing. That's from Jared in Galway. And when bombs are going down, that feels very war-y to me. Meanwhile, shock and awe in the hurling championship. Dublin delivered the bunker buster of the decade, and they beat the best team for many, many years with a 14-man squad minus their captain. Limerick are out, which is crazy. A friend of mine from the Treaty County texted me back the other day. House private was the message. That's how sad they are in Limerick this morning. It was Mayo this time last weekend. Now it's Limerick. And so Cork await the heroic upstarts of Dublin, the two sides who beat Limerick, Munster final and All-Ireland quarter final. And then Kilkenny will play Tip in 2 weeks' time in semi-finals. That promise to stop hearts, I can tell you. It's 10 years since Kilkenny won the All-Ireland, can you believe it? But it's 20 since the Rebels did it. And will they be favourites for the moment? You don't know. Four teams in it. Dublin, for their hurling title, the last time, you have to go back to 1938. But the championship is saved. Meanwhile, in the football, no surprises really across the weekend. There were kind of uneven fixtures, but four more teams are out, eight remain, and they are all stunning matches for next weekend. Kerry versus Armagh. Oh, it's the one Armagh was kind of fretting about. Tyrone and Dublin, that'll be great. Galway and Meath will be very interesting because Galway are kind of stuttering, and if they can take or slow down Shane Walsh at all, it might be quite evened out, but Galway would be fancy there. And then the worst outcome of them all for us in Monaghan, Donegal, Ulster versus Ulster. It's just, oh my God, sad news. And of course, the League of Ireland deliver the other shock of the weekend, not on the pitch, off the pitch. And it is all about Damien Duff departing from Shells at Shelburne. The Irish Independent sports section promised the inside story of Duff's shock departure, a 10 a.m. phone call, a speech to the players and vain attempts to make him stay. Daniel McDonald reports on this, and it's kind of extraordinary. Said while Duff had been incredibly critical of Shelburne's players after Friday night's defeat to Derry City, he'd been involved in normal conversations on Saturday, but then it was all over by Sunday morning, and he met the boss basically at 10 o'clock in the morning. And the Shelburne players were out on the training pitch while the talks were taking place, waiting for training to start. The players noticed something was up when they were approached by a big delegation led by their manager, or who they thought was still their manager, the Duffer, who was in regular clothes rather than Shell's gear. He spoke first, saying he had decided to resign because he'd taken the group as far as he could. In response, the sources indicated that Captain Mark Coyle spoke on behalf of stunned players. They thanked Duff for changing their lives while also expressing the wish that he would stay put. But it was very much a farewell, and he turned around and he was gone. And Damien Duff said emotional goodbyes to Doyle and Byrne, Doyle being the boss, and Joey O'Brien in the car park before driving off, leaving a shocked club behind them. Privately, there were figures. This is Daniel McDonald in the Indo. Privately, there were figures within Shelburne who always feared this would happen, but they did not expect it to be now, especially 2.5 weeks out from a Champions League tie with Linfield, which could easily be described as one of the biggest matches in the club's entire history, given the financial doors it might open. So whether you think maybe it's Duff in a huff, he is gone. He's out. And there were extraordinary comments about the level of dedication his players were showing in this interview, which is now being trawled over. It was kind of extraordinary few words after that match, which the Shells lost on Friday night. Have a listen to a clip.
I'd argue I may be prepared better than some of them. Big siesta today, eating really well, stayed out of the sunshine. I still prepare like I'm a player. So I ask the players, did they prepare like me? And secondly, okay, if you are tired and your quality's a bit off, how motivated are you to pull through that? Can you give yourself a talking to? A lot of players got in ruts tonight that they couldn't get out of. And here it's damning. I think there's certainly been a lack of quality at times, a lack of energy at times. So damning words, but true. How I feel, how the staff feel, what I've told the players, and they accepted it.
Damning words, he said it himself. And also in the Independent, Eamon Sweeney says, impulsive exit will damage Shell's hero's reputation. John Fallon in the Examiner says his abrupt departure was in keeping with a dramatic tenure. And he speculates on what happens next. He says where he goes next will be watched closely. But a break from the intensity he's channeled for 42 months is inevitable. Maybe he just needed a bit of a rest for his head. He is the Soccer Writers Ireland Personality of the Year and has insisted this Duff has no interest in managing the Ireland team, nor working for any other League of Ireland club. So you wonder what's going to happen next. There are no words, the board sounded crestfallen in their statements. So we'll be watching out what happens there, Damien Duff and so on. Back to the texts. From sport to war. Your texter said the US started a war to prevent a war. It makes perfect sense. It really does. Iran has only been weeks away from having nuclear capabilities since 2012, according to Netanyahu, says Colm. And they come in like it's just the unknown, isn't it? We don't know what's going to happen. Oliver, the Phoenix Park concert was set up in a field from scratch. We had some difficulties getting there. Long walk from Houston. Reporting this as a concert goer, as Mammy is, see some of the season. One of us, we went to the Castle Knock Gate. It was lovely, short walk, because I remember being caught out before walking from Euston Station. And we're going to stay in the subject of music this morning because we're going to continue our Masters of Music series. You'll remember We had Naily Mulligan and his Illan Pipes a few months ago. Then Malachy Robinson came into us with his double bass. And we learned so much about the musician, the master themselves and the instrument and the history of the instrument. So we're going to delve in again today. And this time, the instrument we've welcomed to studio, it's kind of like a drum that got notions and decided to learn some chords. It is the banjo. Beautiful. And we're going to talk all about the banjo with the man behind it, that's Enda Scahill, right after this very short break.
Text 51551. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.